Welcome to show number 16 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by NorCalSportsShop.com. What is going on, my people? Hopefully everybody is having a wonderful day and everything's going great for you. If not, sit back and relax and maybe we can entertain you a little bit here today. It is show number 16, and anytime I think of the number 16, I think of Joe Montana when he was out there for the 49ers. One of my biggest heroes, definitely one of my favorite athletes of all time, and definitely when I was younger, I had kind of a man crush on Joe Montana, and maybe still do today, you never know. You know, maybe we'll do this as we go forward in these episodes, at least when we're in the single digits. Whatever number show we're on, we're going to cover whatever player I can think of. You know, obviously some big ones come to mind. Number 23, that's obviously Michael Jordan, and probably we'll slip in some LeBron James stuff. You know, we could have done show number 8 for Kobe because I still identify Kobe Bryant with number 8, but we'll maybe save 24 for Mr. Bryant. And there's quite a few other numbers. We'll mix in a little bit of football. But that's another way you can get into this month's contest. If you haven't heard already, we're going to run a contest for the rest of this month. And send me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com. Send me you know, your favorite player's number. You know, it's obviously got to be higher than 16 at this point. And we'll cover some things. What I'm going to do with Joe Montana and what I hope to do in the future is maybe just cover some eBay prices, maybe some of their memorabilia, some of their best cards, some of their most recognizable cards, either in the past and especially today. For today, I've got, you know, some UDA pieces that I'll cover for Joe Montana, maybe some prices you can look to get of him. And his rookie card, obviously, we'll talk a little bit about that. And I did a little bit of research. We'll talk a little bit about his 2008 products, which may be a little bit different than maybe the years past for Joe. But other than that, we've got some more stuff on tap for today's show. We're going to talk about what types of cards hold their value over time. And I know we talk about this almost every show, but we're just maybe kind of give you a rundown of, you know, what kind of cards hold their best value over time if you're just getting back into collecting, or if you haven't collected very seriously recently, especially in the last 3 or 4 years. Maybe kind of cover some trends that are happening now and that may hold true down the road. So as you're getting back into collecting, and maybe even if you're a seasoned collector, it's always good to get a little refresher course on those kind of things. But first thing is first, we're going to kick it off with, you know, if you're listening to the show this week, it's a week of October 13th, 14th, somewhere in that range. There's some products on the way out this week, some interesting products you might want to keep an eye on. First thing is first is SP Authentic Baseball comes out, and didn't really change a whole bunch, except SP Authentic has always had a decent autograph lineup, and they've tested kind of the manufactured patch theory for a while too. I didn't see a lot of that in this year's product. I did see a lot of rookies. It's broken down the same way. It has about 24 packs per box, and it's about 5 cards per pack. They have 42 rookie autographs numbered to $9.99 or less, and they have 60 rookie jersey autographs numbered to $9.99 or less. So that's pretty cool, and you get 3 autographs per box, and it looks like you got one of those rookie jersey autos per box. So not a bad box. You want to check out the rookie checklist, make sure it's something that has some deep rookies, or at least a decent chance of you pulling something, because chances are that's what's going to be the big hit in that box, unless you happen to pull like a Derek Jeter or something like that. They have some legendary players in there, I'm sure. So you want to check that out. The price on SP Authentic Baseball often comes down. I've seen, you know, deals recently where you can get, you know, 2006 SP Authentic Baseball and all these other years SP Authentic Baseball for much cheaper than the regular retail prices, around the $100 range, $90 to $100. But it often dips down, sometimes south of $70. And this is not only the case with baseball, but also with basketball. Not necessarily the case with football, because sometimes football has those patch autograph rookies in there that are pretty cool. But we'll see. Maybe this change to kind of focus on rookies for SP Authentic will be kind of interesting for them. So you want to keep an eye out that. Next thing that is out is for the football fans is Donruss Gridiron Gear Football. That is 18 packs and 5 cards per pack. Each box is going to have 2 rookies numbered to $9.99 or less, and it's going to have 3 memorabilia cards, so an assortment of memorabilia. And Gridiron Gear is known for multiple parallels. So there'll be numerous, like a green version, a platinum version, all kinds of version of the jersey cards and the rookie cards. So you, it's an interesting set if you're into parallels. And you're looking at about $75 to $85 a box. And I would imagine that price would probably remain somewhere in that range. So if you happen to buy it early, I don't think you'll see the price dip, because as we've seen this last week, Matt Ryan is really playing well, and there's quite a few other rookies. All it takes is really one rookie, but really Matt Ryan and Felix Jones jump off the top of my head, among other running backs and things that are going on in the NFL. So the rookie class will really drive that product, and I don't imagine it going down a whole bunch from that price range. Last thing is for all you basketball fans, and that is Hot Prospects Basketball, and that's 18 packs per box. 5 cards per pack. Each box, kind of interesting, has 2 jerseys or autographs plus 1 auto rookie patch card. And it did say patch, so it should have, you know, 2 colors or, you know, some kind of, I don't know if it's a manufacturer patch or if it's actually, you know, something player worn and they cut it off the patches. But it did say every box contains 1 auto rookie patch. And also in this product, it being a Fleer Upper Deck product, there are also Michael Jordan autographs possible. I'm not sure of the quantity in there. Probably they do their standard thing. They usually do most Michael Jordan autographs either out of 1 or out of 23. So you'll probably expect something like that. But decent box. They start out at about $100. But Hot Prospects, that's pretty expensive. That's like, what, $7 a pack, maybe a little bit more than that. That's pretty expensive. This product sometimes goes down. It'll be how the rookies play and how many rookies in basketball kind of drive the product. Unlike football, it takes a little bit more than one rookie to drive a product. In basketball, I think it takes 2 or 3. And if you get over 3, you get like an 03-04 thing where you have LeBron James. And an 05-06, I think, was like Chris Paul, Deron Williams, and Andrew Bynum, among others. And that's a pretty good draft. So if you get over 3, I would say $100, you're probably doing all right on it. But you might want to wait on this product, kind of see how some of these rookies play. And you might be able to scoop this box a little bit later. But we'll see. Maybe those that 1 auto rookie patch per box might keep those boxes going. Well, that's about it for the wrap-up of this week's release dates. Now we're going to talk about a little bit of news. We'll just touch on a little bit of basketball. NBA preseason is tipped off. If you have cable, you should have gotten the free League Pass preview where you get to see a lot of preseason games. I don't know if they're going to extend that into this week or not. I know they give you the first week of NBA League Pass for free usually. It's kind of a preview and a kind of a teaser to let you buy it. So if you're into the NBA, and if you have cable or satellite, you should be able to find that in the upper channels, wherever those are on your cable box. And you should be able to tune into the games, at least for the first week of the season. But I've been watching the NBA preseason, caught the Laker game last night against the Kings, thought everybody looked pretty good for both teams, actually. Don't have a whole bunch of news. I remember seeing Greg Oden the other night. He looked great. For Detroit, I've been hating on Detroit a little bit privately. I don't know if I've done it on this show, but I've been a little bit down on Detroit, but I think they have a shot at if they stay healthy, that's their number one key, because they don't have a tremendous amount of depth. Although I checked out their stats the other day, Rodney Stuckey is a guy I hear a lot about all the time, and he's a really solid player. And I've seen him play here and there on the league pass, and I think I've had him in a fantasy league before. Puts up some decent numbers. Sometimes starts, mostly off the bench. He's a guy I like. If he plays well, it'll give Detroit a little bit of a lift. And it looks like Aaron Aflalo had a really, really good game the other day. And I remember seeing him a little bit. I remember seeing him a lot in college. Don't exactly remember the college he plays for. But looks like he had a really good game, and you want to keep an eye out for them. I think if those two play well, maybe I'll change my prediction on Detroit and maybe put them, as of right now, in the East. I have it as obviously Boston. I see them as the clear favorite if they stay healthy to go back to the finals. I don't see them having any problem going back to the finals if they have their big three intact. But if something happens with them, or some injuries creep up, or maybe they're a little laxed on just having that one ring, I see Cleveland. LeBron James, I don't think you can ever doubt that kind of athlete and that kind of talent. I think he gets better every year. And I think he's getting up into that range where he's going to be a lot more like Kobe, a lot more unstoppable, and a lot more sophisticated basketball player. I see him aging into a very solid basketball player. And I think they've already been there, and you never know. Maybe the Cavs can make it back. You never know. But I also put Orlando up in there just because they have Dwight Howard, and they have a lot of other guys on that team, a lot of young guys. I think Hedo Turkoglu. I know he had a great season last year, and we'll see how he comes back. I think they have Jameer Nelson. They have some other players on that team. So I like Orlando. It's kind of a sleeper. And I put Detroit maybe in that fourth spot, but I definitely could see them moving up ahead of even Cleveland and maybe even battling it out with Boston a little bit if they can get their bench in play. And if all their guys like Rashid and Tayshaun and Rip Hamilton and Chauncey Billups, if all those guys stay healthy, then yeah, maybe they will make a run at it. We'll see. But another sleeper I want to talk to you guys about, guys you might know about if you know the NBA, but especially if you play a little bit of fantasy basketball, Charlie Villanueva of the Bucks. I like this guy. I've seen him, you know, I remember he came out of high school. He was a high school All-American. Or actually, no, he played 1 year in Connecticut. I think he wanted to come out in high school, but they changed the rule the year he was trying to come out. He actually played 1 year in Connecticut, I think. I like this guy's game. He plays really well. He's kind of tall, kind of lengthy, and he lit it up in a preseason game the other day. I like this guy because he'll probably put up numbers, so fantasy-wise. You might want to check this guy out, maybe move him up the list. I know he was really low in the rankings in the fantasy league that I'm doing. And if you didn't listen to last show, if you want to get up in the fantasy basketball league I'm running, I still have about 5 spots left. If you, you know, promise to check it at least once or twice a week, and if you want to be more faithful than that, if you want to be more faithful than that, it's been a rough morning. I tell you what, you can obviously tell I've been kind of stuttering through this first 20 minutes, but, you know, if you want to get up into our fantasy basketball, hit me up with an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com. Send me an email. I'll send you an invite and get your booty up in that. Well, after this short break, we're going to talk about what kind of types of cards hold their value over time. You know, what kind of things are going on, and what kind of things you want to keep an eye out for, kind of trends and things that are going on in the hobby. And we'll talk about all that next. Thanks for hanging with us and staying true to the game. We're going to talk about what kind of cards hold their value best over time. And this is not meant to be like an all-inclusive list, but this is just kind of based on maybe very recent trends or very recent things that maybe I've noticed in the hobby. And one thing I've noticed is going to the trade boards. A lot of people trade on forums and things like that. And a lot of things that people are looking for, they often only say they're looking for patches, autographs, and occasionally true rookies, true base rookies. And that's a very interesting thing. I see the majority of people spending a lot of money on eBay on these kind of things. So it leads me to believe that at least that's hot for now. I can't say for sure that these things would be hot in the future, but if you want to take the past of sports cards, usually things that are hot in the past, if they slow down a little bit, eventually they kind of become, you know, the market becomes saturated a little bit. But, you know, I kind of can imagine that the things that are hot now are still going to hold true at least 5 to 6 years from now. at least the card companies might have a different spin on them at that point. But the first thing that comes to mind are patch cards. And we've talked a little bit about jersey cards and patch cards and the kind of the difference between the two. Basically, what I'm talking about is something that's not just the normal jersey. You've got a piece of the lettering on there, if you've got a nameplate, or you've got the Reebok logo, or you've got something on there that makes it a little bit different than the ordinary jersey card. And those kind of cards I do see holding their value fairly well. Maybe not necessarily skyrocketing value, especially if it's not a rookie card or of like a Hall of Fame type player like a Jeter or like a Brett Favre or like a Tom Brady or somebody like that, or even of a vintage player. I don't see those cards skyrocketing, you know, if it's just like a Michael Irvin patch card or something like that. I mean, it will go up and it's definitely better than having just the plain jersey, but I do see a lot more collectability in those. Obviously, there's more people looking for them. I see a lot more people looking to trade for those kind of cards and build their collection with those kind of cards. So, you know, when I say what kind of cards hold their value over time, we're more talking a lot about collectability and what kind of thing collectors are going to be looking for in the future or looking to get large quantities of, because oftentimes you get one base rookie or, you know, a couple base commons of your favorite player or your favorite team. Then you don't want to get 500 of them, but you know, maybe there's a piece of you that wants to acquire 150, you know, two color or three color jersey patches of your favorite player. I could see that being much more likely, and I do imagine it is much more likely that collectors go for patch jersey cards, and that's probably even a step above just regular jersey cards. There's a collector that wants everything and that wants all the jersey cards and really doesn't care. But then there's the collector that wants to take his game to the next level. And then he's looking to only acquire patch jersey cards because he knows he can go out and get on eBay and get a common jersey card almost any day of the week. But those two color and those kind of rare variations don't get on there a whole bunch and wants to make sure they get their hands on those. So I see those holding their value a little bit. So if you have those cards, those maybe want to go into the keeper stash unless you can get some serious coin for them or if you need the money. And if you don't, I strongly encourage maybe holding on to those because I can see, especially with good players, the values will hold true on those. Next thing is autographs. Obviously, we've beaten this topic to death, but autographs on anything are good, especially on sports cards because they have a good chance of being real and authentic, you know. So, but the difference with autographs, and again, we've talked about this already, but, you know, check back, I don't know, it was like four or five shows ago, autographs, you know, on card or sticker. I do see on card autographs being a little bit more collectible in the long run, but you want to keep in mind, I would just recommend going back and listening to that segment of the show if you haven't already, but I would say on card autographs are a little bit more collectible. Another thing I see a lot is like true rookies. And that's basically the easiest way I can describe it is pick up a Beckett or even like a Tough Stuff or something like that. And it's the cards with the rookie next to their name. You'll see, you know, like Greg Oden in Topps. He'll be like number whatever, 211. And then he'll have like maybe a gold version that's still numbered out of 100 or 150 or something like that. Now that's still a rookie card and it's probably a little bit more valuable and it may be a lot more valuable than the base card, but the true rookie does have a little bit of sexiness to it and it has maybe a little bit of more collectability to it. And notice I say a little bit more collectability to it and not necessarily more value because I think there's a difference there. Not that, you know, you wouldn't be able to make, you definitely would make more money on the long run having the gold version, but true rookies do have a little bit of an appeal because if you are quote unquote a true collector, if you really want to get a good collection going, you're going to get the gold version, but you probably want to top it off with a base card. And most collectors, if you're on a tight budget, maybe you can't afford the gold version or you're priced out of it, then you're going to go for the base version. So that's why I say the base version appeals to most collectors and therefore it probably is a little bit more collectible in the long run. But if you got the coin, go for the parallels. Be careful on the parallels. There's some sets that maybe take it a step too far and they have like all colors of the rainbow as a parallel and they're all different, you know, variations. If it's autographed, it's a little bit different story, but if you're talking about just a base card with nothing but a serial number on it, you want to be careful. There's some sets that only have like one parallel, kind of like a Topps Chrome, although they complicated a little bit with like X refractors and all this other stuff. But, you know, the companies that keep it somewhat similar, Bowman Chrome has like the white, blue, and orange, and then they have the base. That's too much for me, but, you know, those kind of cards maybe hold their value a little bit too. So keep an eye on those. Another thing is unopened boxes. A lot of people in the past used to open boxes and then complete the set, and that was kind of their thing that they did for investment. They completed sets either by hand or they bought them straight for the company. I think it's a little bit different today. And I would encourage you, if you wanted to complete sets, go ahead and complete sets, but only do it for your own enjoyment. I don't think you're going to make any money on it down the road. But if you want to complete sets, I strongly consider it. I do it occasionally, only in certain circumstances. But definitely, if I had a really large budget, I definitely would complete sets a lot more. But if you're looking to make a little bit of money and maybe spend your money a little bit more wisely, I would encourage unopened boxes, because unopened boxes can go up in value considerably. And I know we've talked about this a little bit before, but if you're just getting with us, you know, unopened boxes vary in demand and supply much more than complete sets, because complete sets are basically a representation of the entire print run of cards. Say they run 100,000 of each base card. Well, there's going to be about 100,000, you know, complete sets theoretically that you could put together. Whereas unopened boxes, yeah, they start out with, I don't know, you know, 30,000 of a given product. Well, a lot of that stuff gets opened up, and eventually, a couple years later, you're probably only left with, you know, a third or maybe even less than that, like a quarter of the product still unopened. Well, if you have big rookies, especially in the case in baseball, but also in basketball and football as well, you know, football especially too, you'll see some rookies down the road that break out, you know, in their third season or fourth season. And some years that come to mind, you know, 2003 football, I think, had like Carson Palmer, Larry Johnson. That was a really expensive product, but it also emerged as a Tony Romo product as well. And there's been some other rookies coming out of that set. So that's an unopened box. If you bought it at its original price, you probably could get a little bit more today. Same with, I think it was 2000 was Tom Brady. I think SB Authentic boxes of that stuff sell for in the $300 range. Same with contenders. I think they're in the $250, $300 range. Those were the same prices they are today, $100 a box, 120 a box, you know, at the hobby store, let alone at the wholesale level. So those are the kind of things. If you held on to just, you know, two or three of those boxes, you'd be maybe looking to make, you know, close to 700 or 800 bucks in an 8 year period. On a three, basically, you'd have a $300 investment. Say you bought three boxes and you got them fairly cheap, and you spent $300 on it. And over 8 years, say you sold them today, and say you could get $300 today, or maybe you sold them in the summer before Tom Brady got hurt, and you could get $300 a box. Well, you made $600. You'd have made $200 a box. You'd have made $600 in 8 years on a $300 investment. Trust me, you can't do that in the stock market, especially today. But man, that'd be a strong investment. So those kind of things do happen. 03 or 04 basketball. This is basically how I got my business off the ground. We could have a whole show on the 2003 and 04 draft class. There was some crazy things happening with prices there, and I was able to capitalize on some things there and make a lot of money on that draft class. 06 football, same thing happened there. I made a lot of money pre-selling and doing things like that with that draft class. And I think down the road, that draft class, I think Reggie Bush is looking really good. And Mario Williams, I think, as a defensive player, is going to be, you know, somewhat collectible. And I think maybe Vince Young will get his stuff together, and maybe Matt Leinart. And there's a bunch of other rookies in that class. We've talked about it. But 2001 baseball was maybe one of the first ones that I can remember when I first started collecting boxes a little bit, buying boxes a little bit more. Albert Pujols, Ichiro, there was quite a few other rookies in that. I think Mark Teixeira is in that as well. So, you know, it happens a lot, and it mainly is by the rookie class. So you want to keep an eye on unopened boxes, and I strongly consider that is if you're looking at a straight investment, that's one of the best ways you can do it, because then you capitalize on the whole rookie class. Instead of buying that box and opening it and hoping you pull the LeBron James autograph rookie, well, you can keep that box sealed and then, you know, kind of hedge your investment a little bit and say, you know, I'll sell this for, you know, $300. You know, if the guy pulls the LeBron, you know, so what? you know, at least I know that I'm going to make some money on this purchase. So you want to keep that in mind. It's not something you can do every year. And it's a very tough thing to do. And it's, I would akin it to buying stocks. As we've seen today, you can't predict anything, especially in today's market. So it's something that's very tough. So one thing that might be good one year might be bad the next. So it's very tough, and I strongly consider you doing a tremendous amount of research if that's something you want to do. And the last thing is vintage cards, and this is probably one of the best investments you can, and probably the safest investment. This is like buying a T-bill or buying like a government-issued bond, although those are trash. You know, those could be trash. But I would say in cards, vintage cards are definitely graded or in raw condition, and raw I mean ungraded. I would say, especially if it's in fine condition, if you can find some very fine, you know, 50s or previous baseball cards or football cards or basketball cards in really sharp condition, those are great investments. Doesn't matter who's on the front. That's probably a card that's going to go up, because you do see a lot of set builders back in those days, because there really aren't too many unopened boxes. You're looking at a handful, if any, are left. Mainly, you're left with unopened packs that may have been searched. So completing sets is a lot more common in vintage cards, and that's something going forward maybe we'll see coming back. You know, it's obviously much more expensive to collect a set today, but it's getting really expensive to collect, especially a high-grade set of vintage cards. And there are people that want to collect an entire set, say, like, 1956 tops, and they want to grade every single card and have every single card like be 8 or above or 7 or above or 6 or above. Those go for huge money at auction, huge money, especially if they, you know, include some gems like some PSA 10s and things like that in there. Those are some things you want to keep an eye on. If you can find some really good graded cards on eBay, because those kind of things don't always sell very well. And I akin it again to like a government issued bond, where you're earning like, you know, 2% over 10 years or something. You're not really earning very much money because you're in it for the long haul. And I would, you know, do that with most vintage cards, especially of kind of the no name players. The upper echelon players, obviously you're going to have to fork out more dough for that. And when their percentage goes up, it obviously is a little bit more significant amount of money, but you can get some, you know, ungraded or even graded, common or, you know, semi-star vintage cards. And if they go up a little bit, it's only like 30 or 40 cents above your investment, but look at it as like a 10-year investment. You know, if you can spend $1 on an ungraded, just common, you know, 1956 tops, but it probably would grade out maybe like PSA 8 or PSA 9 or above, that card will probably be, I would consider, probably be double its value in probably 10 or 15 years. And it could be sooner than that. It could be later. But in my opinion, I would say at least 10 years, you're looking at, you know, if you paid a dollar for it, you could probably sell it for at least $2. And there's not too many things you can say that about. And it's, you know, it's a fun thing to do. And it's something that obviously, hopefully you enjoy collecting, and you're in it for the long haul. Because I think if you are, vintage cards would be a good way to go. And then I'm going to wrap it up. I've probably gone on long enough. But after we come back, we're going to touch on, remember, it's show number 16. It's all about Joe Montana. And we're going to wrap it up with, you know, some items you could pick up of Joe Montana if you don't have some already. I would also throw Joe Montana as maybe a decent investment. He's in that vintage category, although he's not old at all. And his cards really aren't that old. And obviously, he's getting cards put out today. But, you know, he's not playing anymore. You know, and as time goes on, Joe Montana never threw an interception. He always won the Super Bowl. Well, he did always win the Super Bowl when he went. And that's why I love Joe Montana. And we'll talk about him after this.
Fresh out that Pyrex pot, black Air Force 2s and the white socks fitting on my forehead. Try me, go ahead.
Ah, yes. Show number 16, Joe Montana. The blonde hair, the skinny legs, always the ability to stay cool under pressure. Those are the things I love about Joe Montana the most. And I remember him most maybe from being the number 16. I actually have a Joe Montana jersey that's way too big for me, so I hang it up on the wall here. That's one of the few things I have up on the wall in my house. But I got my Joe Montana jersey on the wall. But, you know, one day I hope to maybe add a piece to my collection, and it's actually something autographed of Joe Montana, because I think there's actually some decent values now that I'm looking at prices today. And all these prices are coming from eBay.com. They don't sponsor this show. They don't have anything to do with it, but I did get these prices from them, and I think it's a decent way to pick up some good deals in the autograph memorabilia market. And Joe Montana has some decent deals out there. The thing that comes to mind, Joe Montana was up with Upper Deck for the longest time, and we'll talk about it in a little bit, but it looks like he severed ties. I actually think he did it a couple years ago, but I'm just noticing it now. Notice I'm not exactly on the ball with my boy Joe Montana, but I'm catching back up with him a little bit. But he was with Upper Deck for the longest time. You could only get his autographs in Upper Deck products, and he was kind of their featured boy there for a while. Him and Dan Marino kind of highlighted a lot of the mid-90s and early 2000 products for football, and we're kind of, in some sets, we're like the only autograph you could get. Well, he also did a lot of like signing of helmets and footballs and jerseys and stuff like that. I remember being at a store. We had a Joe Montana. The guy went through Upper Deck and he bought a couple UDA pieces of Joe Montana. And he had a jersey at one time. I think he sold it for like $325. And that's about the same price. You're looking at, you know, $250, $300 plus for a really nice, authentic UDA piece of a Joe Montana. But, you know, a little bit lighter on the budget would be like a mini helmet. I only saw 49ers on there. I saw Chief stuff on there. It looks like it goes for maybe a little bit less. And maybe or maybe not, that'll be the case going down the road. But for now, it's a little bit less. But I saw Niner mini helmets selling in the $90 to $120 range. And that's pretty good for a UDA piece. That's about what it costs probably straight from the factory. And the companies would mark it up to probably $150 to $175. So you're getting a really good deal there. I don't see prices dropping too much lower than that. That's a pretty good deal. And if you can get one with all its tags and everything with it, not a bad pickup right there. Full size helmets, a little bit more obviously because the helmet itself is like $100. But just to add Joe's signature on it, looks like they sell in the $200 to $250 range. And Chiefs ones look like they sold maybe south of 200 sometimes, maybe right at 200. But a full-size helmet for $200, that's pretty good too. I remember those probably at the retail level in the $300 range when Joe was kind of in his prime or just after he retired. That's a pretty good deal. That's actually not too bad of a price. Footballs are in the $100 to $150 range. I've seen some – one of my boys actually has a Joe Montana UDA football. The signature actually faded on it. I don't know how good football, the leather is so absorbent on those things. I want to say, I don't know this for a fact, but I want to say if they don't use the right pen, I want to say the leather will start to absorb the ink of the pen, and the ink will actually start to shrink down into the leather. Not 100% sure on that, but I want to say that that could be the case if you use the wrong pen. So I may shy away from a football, and I'd rather go for like a mini helmet, a full size helmet, or you know, something like a jersey. That'd be awesome. It'd be tough to, you know, it'd be nice to frame it and stuff. That'd be a pretty expensive investment. You'd probably end up spending, you know, $400 or $500 plus on it, but it might not be that bad of an investment. Another thing you want to look out for is Joe Montana's rookie. I remember when these were selling for like $300, $400. They were going up every month in the packet back in the early 90s. This card was huge. The 1981 Topps number 216, appropriately actually. So PSA 8, basically like a near mint, I would consider that an extremely strong grade for this card. PSA 8 selling the $75 to $95 range. And obviously if you're looking at a 9 or a 10, you're looking at a considerable amount of money. You're looking at prices probably what raw ones used to go for back in the 90s. Ungraded, you're looking at $30 to $65. It's not a bad deal. I'd hesitate buying one on eBay just because condition is such an important thing. Obviously, if you could buy one in the $30 to $40 range and then grade it PSA 8, you could sell it, I think, for at least $75. So you'd actually probably make a little bit of money there. So people don't let like really nice ones go. Most of the nice ones have been graded already. So I would consider maybe buying a graded one. I would consider that a decent investment. Along with our, you know, what we just talked about, it would go up in price at a small percentage steadily over time. You know, I don't imagine anything happening to Joe Montana, you know, OJ Simpson wise or something like that, that would make his cards go down after he stopped playing. So I consider them probably going to be keepers in the future. So that's something you want to keep an eye out. 2008. Like I said, Joe's not with exclusively with Upper Deck, so you can find, I saw multiples of Joe Montana autographs in Press Pass Legends, Donruss Classic, Sports Kings. I'm sure there's a bunch more UD Premier, Leaf Certified, and most of the, like, his general autographs that weren't like really short printed sold in the $100 range, and that's appropriate considering many helmets sell in about the same range. I would akin a card to probably about the same price. So, you know, cards, you know, are about the same as mini helmets, I guess I'm trying to say. So they sell in about the $100 range, $120 range, maybe less than that sometimes. So that's not a bad price. I would look to get an on-card one. I think that would be a really good investment if you could find one south of $100 on-card and of a decent brand, or at least a decent-looking card. Might be a pretty good investment. So that about wraps it up for Joe. I miss Joe. Wish he was still playing. But I don't think a lot of his records are going to be broken. You know, we'll see what Tom Brady does. We'll see if Tom Brady can win his fourth Super Bowl or maybe even more than that. But Joe's got quite a few now, and I see his records holding up, and I see his card futures. His card future is bright. I see we're kind of out of a bottom right now. I don't see him going much lower. I can't imagine Joe Montana autographs being able to scoop a Joe Montana autograph for less than $80 or $70. I don't think that's going to happen in the future. So it's maybe not a bad time to buy Joe Montana stuff. And that about wraps it up. Again, send me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com, of a player number 17 or above, and we'll feature them, maybe feature some prices, maybe feature some history about the player, and we'll cover some things. And if there's more significant players, you know, maybe there's, you know, obviously there's more 23s and maybe probably even more 32s that we can cover, but we'll, you know, and probably number 82, that's a big number too, that'll be a big one. So we'll think about that. Send me some emails, and we'll shout you out on the show. I'm just going to break it out right here. We are done for today. Again, enter our contest. It's going to be $25 in PayPal, $25 at NorCalSportsCardShop.com, your choice. And remember, if you see anything at NorCalSportsShop.com, enter the discount code SHOW for 10% off anytime, any place, anytime you need it, boy. That's what we're trying to do here. Hopefully you guys have a good week. Check us back in a couple days. I'll put one out midweek for you guys. Hopefully I'm on the ball this week and things don't drag me down, and we'll have another show out for you soon. Until then, good luck with your collections, and we'll see you next time.